right, Patriots, it's time to buckle up. Welcome to your flight. Direct flights today serving Patriot America and the New Republic. If you're not on that flight, it's going to be a long one. If you're smoking, there's two exits, and both of them are outside on the wing. Keep those little doggies wrapped up underneath your seats and no walking in the aisle. The barf bags are in the folding thing up before the seat before you. And you're a liberal. You ain't gonna like this. Your head's gonna explode. In the event of loss of cabin pressure, take that mask and stick your face in it and breathe. And welcome to the Spiff Report. All right, Patriots, we got another busy day of news, and always, always, it just never ceases to amaze me how stupid America has become. In fact, I'm really starting to think that we don't have a country anymore. It's pretty simple. We're absolutely completely off the rails with idiocy, and the American public is completely off the rails with stupidity. So besides the two, match those two things together, and I think we're about ready to watch the entire end of the Republic. Which is not a bad thing because it's the end of the corporate republic, so what can we say? We're going to have to start over and do things all over once again. So right on the top, Kristi Noem becomes the next great conservative disappointment, blocks ban on transgender sports, has deep corporate lobbyist ties. Oh, there's a shocker. And just when we were getting ready to like South Dakota, guess not anymore. As parts of the conservative Midwest rolling over the corporate and are parts of the conservative Midwest rolling over to corporate and leftist policies, or is our favorite governor being bullied once again? South Dakota governor and rising GOP star Kristi Noem issued a style and form veto of the transgender bill, which would have banned biological males from competition in female leagues, sending it back to the state house with revisions, including one that eliminated its applications to institutions of higher education and eliminated avenues for girls in K through 12 sports to seek legal remedies when harmed by the inclusion of biological males in their leagues. Her desired changes would allow men to compete in women's sports at the college level and potentially K through 12 based on birth certificate rules. Noem says the current bill would have been a losing battle in the courts, which would create more and more litigation and regulation that's impossible to comply with, and that banning transgender athletes from collegiate sports would cause conflict with the NCAA. Oh, there you go. Like we all really want to watch college sports now. You know, all this comes down to a simple thing. We're just not going to participate. And it's great. The more bullshit that they put out here of this stuff, the more that we're going to walk away from it. And when we walk away from it, they're not going to have any revenue. They're not going to have any viewer audience. And we really don't care. This transgender nonsense is a sickness in the mind and the soul. So we just need to make a choice. You either want to play weenie snip sports or you want to play real biological sports as God intended. It's pretty doggone simple. Continuing. So another question here is, do the governor's advisors include corporate interests who pushed the veto on the transgender sports bill, or did she sell out the conservative folks who elected her? A look behind the curtain reveals a network of big business with wide influence in her office opposing the transgender sports bill. Key business groups and figures lobbying heavily against the bill included South Dakota Chamber of Commerce, which, by the way, is a communist organization to begin with. They love China. And on which her chief of staff, Tony Van Huysen, sits. One member of the board of First Premier Bank, oh, there we go, again, the bank lobbyist, what do you know, who recently worked for Noem to donate $100 million to a state scholarship endowment, traveled to the Capitol to testify against the bill. If the NCAA cancels its tournaments, it would cost millions of dollars. Others are worried that Amazon would cancel plans for distribution facility in the state. All sounds good to me. Her top advisor, Matt McCauley, is a lawyer and lobbyist whose clients include Sanford Health, which owns Sanford Sports Complex, Sioux Falls Arena, that hopes to lure NCAA tournaments. In other words, you get to go watch a bunch of weenie snips go up there and throw balls and do whatever else they do, even though they don't have any left. Anyway, Sanford Health also performs transgender treatments on minors. Oh, of course. And also lobbied against a bill last year prohibiting child mutilation. McCauley is all, oh, they lobbied against the bill on child mutilation. Well, that's a good idea. It's kind of hard to mutilate children, huh? But, what a disgusting, disgusting group of people. McCauley is also the managing partner of Redstone Law Firm in Sioux Falls, which has been hired to provide outside legal counsel to Nome administration. Van Huysen is also a former partner in McCauley's firm who left to work for Nome. It seems pertinent to note that Nome has a history of transgender policy. In July 2020, her administration okayed placing male prisoners in women's prisons if the male claimed to be a female. Well, that's awesome. What the heck? Just call yourself a female and get on over there with the gals. Nome says if the legislature doesn't pass her preferred version of this bill, she will call them into special session. Now she's sounding like every other liberal dirtbag. But the legislature already passed the version of the bill they wanted, and if she just objects, she should have made them known during the normal bill process. Republicans in the legislature are saying she is overstepping her bounds, gutting the bill, and rewriting it on her own. Now, there's no shock there. They're all dirtbags in the end. We have zero politicians that are worth anything but a pile of dog poo on the bottom of your cleated shoes. So the question is, did Governor Nome surrender herself with a pit of vipers, or is she caving, or is she just one of them? There's the other question no one asked. Maybe she's just one of them. I'll tell you right now, Bard's Fest now suddenly is going to reconsider a new location. I'll tell you right now, I cannot stomach going to a state that supports that garbage. End of statement. Moving on. General Flynn's relatives to sue CNN for slander. Two of former National Security Advisor retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn's relatives are suing CNN. John Flynn and Leslie Flynn, Michael Flynn's brother and sister-in-law, are plaintiffs in the lawsuit which seeks $75 million in damages from CNN for intent to defame character. In a video story titled "CNN Goes Inside a Gathering of QAnon Followers," which aired February 4th this year, CNN's Donnie O'Sullivan is seen reporting from a gathering in Arizona of people he claims support QAnon. The video story features a clip from a video that Michael Flynn posted on Twitter and other social media on July 4th, 2020. In the original video post, members of Flynn family relaxing together at a bonfire take an oath to the U.S. Constitution, followed by Michael Flynn proclaiming "God bless America" and "Where we go one, we go all," a phrase which supposedly has negative connotations and has been linked to QAnon. We all know the QAnon is a terribly dangerous domestic terror group that believes crazy things such as deep state has planted in the government and a group of wealthy globalists are part of a sex trafficking conspiracy involving children. Mainstream media told us so. We know that's true. We know that it's just crazy thought right there. You know that. You know there's no such thing as child sex trafficking. I'm just telling you this. So listen, I'm going to brainwash you now. There's no such thing as child sex trafficking. There's no such thing as ritualistic murders of children. There's no such thing as mules and other groups that carry children and they pack stuff across the border. Uh-uh. There's no such thing. Trust me. Now you believe me. And if you're a QAnon and you believe that, you are a threat to the society. As noted in the Flynn lawsuit, "Where we go one, we go all" originated from an inspiration first engraved on the bell on one of the President John F. Kennedy's sailboats acknowledging the unity of mankind. The CNN video story shows an edited version of Flynn's original social media post in which CNN edited out the pledge and the "God bless America" parts. Flynn simply utters the terrifying phrase, "Where we go one, we go all." Gives me chills just imagining that. The general said that? I don't even know what to say. He said, "Where we go one, we go all"? Holy cow. I'll bet the left was just like shaking in their little panties. And the left transgender males, men, girls, whatever they... What the heck is somebody once they get snipped? That's what I want to know. You're not a girl and you're not a man if you get tucked or snipped. I don't know what the heck you are. I don't even know what it is. You're an it. So all the its on the lefty side, and hey, that's just weird. The more I think, the more that I don't even like my mind going there. And it's on the back of my mind because Kristi Noem just joined them. Makes you wonder if, like, maybe she's a one, too. Maybe she got flipped early on or something. I don't know. Ugh. I may have her child get snipped. See how that works. According to the lawsuit, Jack and Leslie Flynn, both residents of Rhode Island, enjoyed an untarnished reputation in the community before CNN's video report falsely tying them to a crazy, dangerous QAnon conspirators. The lawsuit claims CNN falsely accused plaintiffs of being followers and supporters of a dangerous, violent, racist, extremist, insurrectionist, domestic terrorism movement, QAnon. Oh my goodness gracious, this stuff just gets dumber every day. Plaintiffs are not followers and supporters of any extremist or terrorist groups, including QAnon. Lawsuit also states General Flynn intended to encourage people to think about being good citizens, to love the country, and be good patriots. The video had nothing to do with QAnon or recruiting so-called digital soldiers for an apocalyptic reckoning. You ever feel like we were all just put into a big, big bath to be played by the elites? Today it feels like this. Because I'll tell you, when I read this, and I read this the other day, when the Flynns did this, I'm not going to kid you, this just pisses me off. I'm going to be blunt. I have respect the Flynns, but I don't respect this at all. This is playing games with a movement, and it's playing games with nobody taking a stand for what really is. Nobody wants to lead. No. Nobody wants to lead. Everybody wants to stab each other and try to position themselves on the battlefield for doing something else. This country needs leaders, and that's not what we're getting out of that. So, continuing on in my little commentary. Man, what a Friday. I think I'm going to need to, like, put my feet in some mud. Yeah, better yet, I'm going to walk and put my feet in liquid cow poo. Probably feel better. People on the farm do that. A friend of mine did that once. Showed me that his favorite thing to do is to take his shoes off, and this is when I was a kid, and walk in cow dung. I never got into that. Never saw the joy of having my feet squish in cow poo. Just not my... But that's what it feels like right now. Feels like my feet are in cow poo squishing around. Oh, man. Anyway, moving along. He's a great kid, too. Great family. Nice. Moving along. Minnesota's transformation into Somalia is nearly complete. This is great news today. The state's Supreme Court rules that felony rape charges don't apply if the victim got drunk on their own. Well, what do you know? I never knew that one. In this upside-down and inside-out world where we are in, it seems common sense has checked out and utter nonsense has ravaged Minnesomalia. That's what we're calling it now. Minnesomalia. Welcome to Minnesomalia. Francois Kali. Oh, that's a good... I'm sure that's a Christian name. Francois Kali. Kali. Yeah, there you go. Sounds like a Muslim. Then 20 picked up an intoxicated woman outside of Dinky Town Bar in 2017, took her back to North Minneapolis home, and raped her after she passed out on the couch. The woman testified according to court records. Hennepin County jury in 2019 convicted him of third-degree criminal sexual conduct. Just the title of that, third-degree criminal sexual conduct. How about if we do this? He's a dirtbag that raped a woman. And in the dirtbags that raped the women, you whip off and you chop off their little weenie and you put a millstone around their neck and you let them try to swim. That's what you do. I'm thinking somewhere I took a wrong turn. I mean, seriously, it's like... What earth am I on right now? I'm really serious. It's like I get up and I'm like, good morning, God. And he's like, good morning, Scott. And then I turn around and I'm like, God, I'm just curious. Are we still on earth? Are we still living among the human beings? Or did something happen? Like, did I accidentally walk in the wrong closet door or walk through the wrong mirror or down the wrong rabbit hole or something? Holy cow. We need some holy cows. We need some holy bulls with big old horns that'll run them down is what we need. Now the Supreme Court has decided against justice once again, as only they do best by lowering the charge against this sick rapist. Khalil's attorney argued the felony charge does not apply because the statute is for cases in which the victim had drugs or alcohol administered to her without her agreement. Basically saying that because she got drunk on her own accord, it's her fault. Well, of course, that's how we treat people. Huh, I think that just completely exonerated every child pedophile in the entire country and every sex rapist that's trafficking kids. This is fantastic. What a great decision. Although it is in a sense her fault that I'm not even going to read that. It's not her fault. She got drunk. Big deal. I don't even like that commentary. She got drunk. Okay, big deal. She got drunk. There is absolutely no excuse for what this act was. Justice Paul Tyson wrote that the prosecution's interpretation of a third-degree assault unreasonably strains and stretches the plain text of the statute. Tyson acknowledged that the common sense understanding, nice word, of mentally incapacitated could include someone who drank voluntarily yet cannot exercise judgment sufficiently to exercise consent to sex. Oh, but may not be able to. But that's not how the statute was written. I'd say drunk actually does imply mentally incapacitated or impaired. A bill is advancing through the House that would add language to the third degree statute, making it a felony to have sex with someone who is too intoxicated to consent, no matter how they got that way. Where are we? Man, this is like serious Banana Republic stuff. I'm telling you, this stuff I lived around for 3.5 years in the turd hole of Afghanistan, the armpit of the world. This is Muslim justice right here. And I hate it. I have no respect for it. And this dirtbaggery is going on in our own country. Here's an answer for you. If you're a woman, pack of 45 at least. Pack about 5 of them. Concealed carry them all over your body. Wow. Chief sponsor, this has really got me pissed off. I can't believe this. Chief sponsor, Representative Kelly Mueller, DFL Shoreview, issued a statement Wednesday urging the bill's passage. Victims, it basically just says that we should have a rule that covers this. This is so dumb. We literally have to turn to Congress and legislature to tell us that it's wrong to rape a woman when she's drunk? I'm telling you what, this line of people that need a rope is getting so long, there's nobody left. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. People are literally becoming dumber by the second. How could you possibly be a judge and sit on a bench and rule that it was basically okay to rape somebody because, well, the law actually says that it's she did this on her own. So I really can't call that being taken advantage of because this was her own choice to get drunk. And they're obviously, I mean, all he's not saying is obviously the only thing she wanted to do was get raped. That's why she was drinking. People better start getting incensed. I mean, I'm absolutely disgusted with our leadership, and I'm going to include everybody in that. It's not speaking, not saying a doggone thing. They're not doing anything for this nation right now. It's like sitting on the side and taking CNN to court. There's a good idea. Over Q of all things. Man. I'll tell you. Arizona Republicans are looking to do a re-election of their state's party officials. I don't know how dumb this one's going to get, but let's buckle up. I'm sure we're going to have more dumbness coming. By the way, great job. I'm serious. We have a great spiff team. They dig this stuff out, and they do great reports. This should be on the headlines every night of the main news, but since there isn't any main news and there's no leadership, oh, You can come right here to Spiff Report. You can get the real thing, which is why we do this, even though it makes me so doggone mad. Brr! Our Spiff commander is a good commander. Just got me. Brr! Okay. It's amazing at times, the blind hypocrisy we are finding ourselves entrenched in and around the nation. From politicians yelling for peace. That's a, I love that oxymoron. Hi, I want you to have peace. You get it? Yes, have peace. And what else? Then dropping bombs on our countries for profit. Oh, that's another thing. You're going to have peace or we're going to just nuke you. To screams about saving the children. Who's, I have to correct the Spiff Report there because there's nobody that's screaming about saving the children. They're just like, well, don't look. Please don't look. We need those kids. That's how we pay our bills. And then locking them in burrito bags and cages. Would you like salsa with him? Or would you like that like fake cheese whiz stuff, you know? You want like a Philly sandwich with a kid? I'm telling you right now. This systemic do as I say, not as I do mental disorder, which is pervasive, should give every God-fearing patriot like yourselves a pause. Not to be outdone by the left-sided political dirtbaggers. And that's not the same as carpetbaggers, because if you know the history of carpetbaggers, they were glorious men who had great talent. Dirtbaggers, not even eligible to shovel the poo out of the horse stalls. Just saying it. It seems the AZGOP, oh, that's Arizona GOP, has its own wellspring of political hypocrites. Well, there's a shocker. Current party chair Kelly Ward's debased thinking, while not alone, is at odds with 17 set legislatures, many of the state's most conservative, who are calling for an audit to the January 23rd run election. In part of the letter written to Ward, she says, "We urge you to heed the calls of your voters and allow an immediate audit of the election that was held on January 23rd in a manner that is unfair and transparent." Oh, that is fair and transparent. "Or we would ask you to remove yourself from the effort to properly audit the elections held in Arizona on November 4th, 2020, as you would be an unwelcome distraction and foil for the media to use to discredit our efforts to protect our state's voters." The hypocrisy stands out pointedly regarding Ward, who has justifiably asked for a proper audit of the November 2020 election, then claimed the party bylaws didn't allow for audits, that no audits would happen, and that losers do not get to ask for audits when responding to the 17 who requested a runoff be audited. Other dirtbaggers supporting her calls for no audit, including longtime member and activist Ian Murray, and former state senator Sylvian Allen, who claim it comes down to supporting Ward and defending the results of the election, no matter what the bylaws say. It's exactly what you would expect to hear from a group of dirtbags. Also claiming the group's efforts in seeking the audit were sour grapes by a disgruntled few and driven by liberal elements within the Oppose the America First agenda. We need to do a breakaway country. Just let them all have their own. They can tell. I don't care what you give them. Just give them some. And it's easy, because if you let them run the country, this is what will happen. They will kill themselves in 5 years and the problem will be solved. Either that or they'll all be starving because they're that stupid. Seriously, I've never met a more retarded group of people in my life than the brain dead people walking with the Biden camp. Other than the ones that are in charge, who are pretty doggone smart because they're using the mass for their own benefit. It's amazing. Anytime hacks come out using projection to cause division and deflect accountability and responsibility, you can pretty much count on them for nothing in the way of truth. Well, that's like every politician. In an email urging state committee men to not sign on for the call for a committee meeting to initiate the audit proceeding, Murray wrote, "We view the effort of a few malcontents as a divisive and damaging to the America First agenda." The label does not appear to apply to the targets through Mark Finchman, Shawna Bullock, Frank Collar, or Carroll, Kevin Payne, and other grassroots conservatives who have clear and established ties within the Trump supporters and have been anti-establishment voices within the party. are the ones leading the effort to audit. That says that's how few people have any sense left. One committee man stated clearly and logically, this wasn't about Ward to me, it was about the rules. If she doesn't have to follow the rules, then neither does the next chairman or the next one after that. Even we have rules then, right? Why do we even have rules, right? This is like a tit-for-tat children talking. I mean, you did this to me. Now I'm going to do this to you. And you know what? Next time, I promise you, we're not going to let you read. You know what? You can't even sit in your chair right. You're going to have to stand the whole time. Go stand in the wall. Put your nose in the corner. That's what you're going to do. Man, these people. Maturity of a three-year-old. Another added, I know quite a few conservatives who didn't care about the right or wrong or following the rules right now. They just want their candidate to win no matter what. And that just breaks my heart. I'll tell you what also breaks my heart is the fact that God hasn't wiped you off the face of the earth yet. A little bit of lake of fire would be nice about right now. All this comes after 2 months of refusals to comply with the request for an audit and an Arizona GOP eventually being sued to force the process, which the state committeemen have now gathered enough signatures to force a redo of the January runoff. And the clowns continue to exit the vehicle. Watch out. Biden's going to be coming with those boxers walking on the White House lawn. I'm telling you. He's like, he's going to not even have a shirt on either. I'm telling you. Look out. You're going to see it. Before this is over, you're going to see it. Flip-flops, no shirt, boxers with a fly that's hanging open. Then you're really going to get sick. Ugh. And Hunter will be there like, Daddy, can we snuggle in bed like we did when I was 15? Headline, the witches running the teachers' unions are now complaining that the new 3-foot social distancing guidelines for school children make them feel unsafe. In a shocking move by the CDC, new guidelines were released this week that reduced a 6-foot safety force shield that protects us all from the scary Wuhan flu that has a 1% mortality rate and a 99% survival rate, that one that crawls across the floor, crawls across your shoe, crawls up the back of your pant leg, wraps it a couple times around your knee, goes up the backside of your panties, up your back, crawls up your chest, crawls up into your beard, hangs out there all night until you go to sleep, then sneaks into the side of your nose canal, goes into your brain, and causes you to become a liberal. Yes, that's the Wuhan flu. But this 3-foot social distancing for students, as long as face diapers are in place, the teachers' unions have had enough of the CDC science-based gobbledygook. So American Federation of Teachers President Randy, a.k.a. Karen Weingarten, wrote the CDC Director Rochelle Walensky and Education Secretary Miguel Cardona to let them know as much. In her letter, she writes, our concern is that the cited studies do not identify the baseline mitigation strategies needed to support 3-foot of physical distancing. Moreover, they were not conducted in our nation's highest density and least resource schools, which have very poor ventilation, crowding, and other structural changes. That's right out of Lewinsky, man. Solinsky, right there. That's great. Nice job, you witch. She went on the list of many other grievances, and she had time for during commercial break of her favorite shows she was enjoyed during the Ronication, nice word. She pondered the logistics of the 6-foot rule remaining in place for adults from the sunken spot on her couch. She did. She's worn a hole in the thing. What is the expectation for a teacher in the classroom? That she remain in one spot in front of the room the entire day, not moving about the classroom? Well, considering her fat butt sitting on a couch, probably so. Fun historical fact. The 6-foot rule came about as a result of theories from a German hygienist, Karl Pflugi. Pflugi decided that 6-foot separations were necessary to slow spread of pathogens. The CDC went with Pflugi's judgment. Karl Pflugi has been dead for over 100 years. Well, there you go. It's current science at its best. And he came to these conclusions when Americans still didn't have indoor plumbing. This is real. This is for real. But carry on, Patriots. They have our best interests in mind, like always. How is DC destroying America? Well, this is going to be interesting. My, how things have changed. States once have had their own independent and successful economies as the founding fathers imagined. President Johnson started the trend to fight the war on poverty, which didn't work. And instead, we walked away after creating agencies like Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, Pell Grants, and Section 8 housing, to name just a few of the disempowering groups. In fact, Johnson really did cut poverty to half back then. Now, Sleepy Joe says he's going to win that war once again. He wants to take the Welfare Administration completely back from the states. He's nowhere near President Johnson and never will be. In 2021, states must largely depend on the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury for their funding, mostly under the guise of fiscal stimulus and pandemic relief. And if you're Kate Brown, you give all that money to your constituents in Portland and screw the rest of the state that didn't need it. While our founders aimed at for federalism, those who rule the roost have turned to nationalism. But you all know about this since you have been listening to our Storm Dispatch show as we read and discuss the Federalist Papers. Isn't that right, Patriots? You're all super intelligent Federalist Papers people now. The agenda set out by the Biden string pullers is already in motion, which would be the CCP, through the passages of the American Rescue Plan, and consists of three distinct parts. Flood every unit of local government with federal cash, irrespective of need, while prohibiting tax cuts, thereby bailing out failing states and cities. Make that flood of federal money made regular and permanent. Annul or override state laws that make certain states competitive, thereby eliminating the competitive advantages and federalized elections to make it permanent. The American Rescue Plan, together with the federal money already sent out to about $6 trillion. If you went through counting up everything, the bailout total is 7.7 times the size of the problem. Look at the state of Illinois as an example. They were granted $13.2 billion as part of an AARP state funds, but if you dig far enough into the legislation, the amount is only a tip of the iceberg of how much money is being sent to that state. Aside from the $13.2 billion for the state and local governments, there's $5 billion for Illinois K-12 schools, $1.3 billion to higher education, $1.3 billion to child care, $1.5 billion for Chicago area transit agencies, $1.5 billion to Illinois public health, and much more. K-12 education, higher education, welfare programs, reparations, and more. It's all centralized and made permanent, subject to federal rules. Those changes include ending work requirements for welfare and that were added by the Clinton administration. Even the H.R. 1, For the People Act, is diabolical. It would strip state governments and local election boards of power to run our elections, centralizing election process. It would mandate same-day and automatic voter registration and encourage vote trafficking of absentee ballots. It would be the end of the voter ID laws and restrict efforts to verify voter registration lists. It would create a public funding program for candidates running for Congress. It would put new regulations on political speech and activity by activist candidates, civic groups, corporations, and nonprofit organizations. Membership in the organizations the left doesn't like would be disclosed, leading to harassment and intimidation. Make no mistake about the historical gravity of what is taking place. States, as the laboratories of democracy, are being shut down and replaced with a national juggernaut more overbearing than most Americans have ever imagined. Goodbye, capitalism. Goodbye, the United States. The Constitution's now dead. Say hello to the new world order. Kemp shows up for work for once, signs sweeping Georgia election reform bills behind closed doors. Democrat rep gets arrested for having liberal meltdown in the Capitol. Behind closed doors, the usually missing in action Georgia Governor Kemp, who is a puppet of the Chinese Communist Party, signed into law sweeping legislation to overhaul voting by mail, early voting, and state oversight of Georgia elections. Kemp wasted no time after the General Assembly passed the legislation yesterday after months of debate. Less than an hour after passage by party line votes in both Georgia State House and Senate, the bill was signed into law. Perhaps Georgia Governor had a premonition on the mayhem that was about to go down just outside his office in the subsequent arrest of a Democrat state rep, Park Cannon. Minority Leader Gloria Butler lamented, "Make no mistake, this is a democracy in reverse. We are witnessing right now a massive and unabashed assault on voting rights unlike anything we've ever seen since Jim Crow." Oh, man, liberals just, I just need like Tums when I read this stuff. "No, Ms. Butler, we are witnessing reining in all the out-of-control fraudulent election process you are getting your panties in a wad about." Man, like, eat a waffle and shut up. Especially turbulent was the voter ID component of the legislation. The bill requires absentee voters to request ballots by providing their driver's license number, the last four digits of their Social Security number, or a copy of some other accepted form of identification. Voters also have to provide this information when they mail in their ballots. Currently, people sign an absentee ballot application and then sign the ballot when they mail it in. The bill also places new limits on how parties and voting groups mail out absentee ballot request forms and limits the number of ballot drop boxes to one per county, excepting large counties, which can set up one box for every 100,000 registered voters. The drop boxes must be kept in secure voting locations and emptied and processed by election officials every night. The bill also gives authority to the state to take over election boards if they are proven to have dirt baggery issues of mismanagement or fraud. Democrats see the moves as an effort by political losers to change voting rules to make it harder for Democratic-leaning voters, including minorities, and to cast ballots. Let's talk about a loser Democrat state rep, Park Cannon. Ms. Cannon was a bit upset that Governor Kemp signed the law. She began banging, in a fairness Dems called it knocking, on the governor's office door. She and her posse were a bit unhappy, stating that this isn't monarchy. Man, I'll tell you, they're great. Not yet. I wish they'd been back in colonial days. They just would have tarred and feathered and be done with it. The governing process was followed. Your team lost, and now Representative Cannon is having a meltdown and ends up arrested. Arrest warrants stated that she knowingly and intentionally knocked on Kemp's door during a bill signing, and she was stomping on the officer's foot three times. Knock three times on the window if you love me. Cannon was charged with obstruction of law enforcement and disruption of General Assembly sessions, according to Georgia State Police. I'll tell you. For those concerned about Representative Cannon, I'm not. She has been released. Too bad. Democrat U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock felt the need to get into the middle of the state politics for some reason and blathered into someone's mic. "This is a very sad day for the state of Georgia. What we have witnessed today is a desperate attempt to lock out and to squeeze the people out of their own democracy. Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done." Yeah, we know how that goes. Whatever. "To remind you, sir, this is a republic, and we are attempting to save it. So buckle up." Oh, man. Dominion continues its lawsuit frenzy, sues Fox for $1.6 billion over election coverage. There you go. Is Dominion getting nervous about their part in the election steal, moving from a dark to light? Keck. Or is it one of those last deep state attempts to shut down Fox News? Keck again, please do. What a dirtbaggery that is. The cover-up is usually what gets them caught. Dominion Voting Systems filed a $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox News after some of the network personalities helped highlight false claims about Dominion rigging the election, naming Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani in the lawsuit. They are suing each for $1.3 billion. Mike Lindell is also their chopping block. Oh, yeah, he's also on their chopping block. They have yet to name any of the Fox News personalities, but that route remains open to them just in case that flops, which they won't do because all the Fox News personalities are owned by the corporations. Though Dominion served 28 states until the 2020 election, it had been largely unknown outside the election committee or community. It is now widely targeted in conservative circles, and their employees are being harassed and threatened as the company has suffered enormous economic harm. Good. Rival technology company Smartmatic, another innocent bystander naturally, also sued Fox over 2020 election claims. Well, boo-hoo. That's what happens when you play with the big boys, Patriots, and light shedders. Yeah, we're the light shedders. You light shedders, baby! I want to sing a Star Wars tune right now, but there's no words to that one. in a land far, far away, in a galaxy far, far away, something like that, you know? And attorneys from Dominion argued that Fox News behaved differently than our media outlets and promoted false claims as it means to explain President Trump's defeat. We know who really won, and it sounds like Dominion feels like Fox News did not play a fair, and they are going to take their toys and go home. Dominion also argues that Fox News and their pro-Trump personalities not only amplified inaccurate assertions, that Dominion altered votes and kept selling their false story to serve its own commercial purposes and keep viewership. Well, we know Fox does that. We find that funny because Fox viewership has actually dropped significantly since the election. Apparently, they forgot the Fox News called Arizona for sleepy sniffer pedophile Joe earlier than any other fake news networks did. We all know the playbook, and as long as Dominion keeps this election fraud narrative going, their arrogance will be their downfall. We'll figure this out by 2024, we promise. We promise, don't worry. In the meantime, you're going to lose your guns, you're going to lose your country, and but President General Flynn will probably win his lawsuit against CNN. That'll be good to know. Great. We all know the playbook. What we find even more intriguing is the suit was filed in Delaware, where both companies are incorporated. Well, yeah, that's normal. Delaware, the home of Sleepy Kickback Joe. No, that's not unnormal. That's just because that's where all your case law is in the country for corporations. Everybody incorporates through Delaware. Even I did. Penny dirt baggery full. Georgia employer sends his employees final paycheck in the form of change soaked in oil. This is just disgusting. Imagine, if you will, for a minute, that you take a job, you work for the job, and you find it isn't the one right for you for whatever reason, and you then leave the job, which is kind of normal these days, especially when they require masks and injections. Of course, with any business, it is a requirement that you pay employees the agreed-upon wage for the time worked. Well, Miles Walker of A-OK Walker Auto Works, a vehicle repair shop in Georgia, seems to have a very childlike resistance to this basic employer-employee relationship. Probably Bubba. Hey, Bubba, do you have some more bacon and some grease fries for breakfast, Bubba, as you rolled yourself underneath that car? After one Dreas Flayton quit working for the dirt bagger in November, he found he was having difficulty getting his final paycheck. Even turning to the Georgia Department of Labor for help, he was owed $915. This is really petty. I mean, that's like, an employer should write that check out the day he leaves. One day, while leaving the house with his girlfriend, he noticed a pile of pennies on his driveway. Over 90,000 of the copper cent pieces covered in automotive grease. Oh, this is straight out of, I don't even know how to go here. On top of the pennies laid a note with the often used high school letter like expletive, F-U. The owner of the shop, Walker, spoke with WCGCLE-TV and stated that he didn't know if he did or didn't drop the pennies off at Flatton's house, claiming, "I don't really remember. I was too fat, drunk, and sloppy on my couch. It doesn't matter. He got paid. It's all that matters," as he had his ass crack showing up behind. Right out of the good old book of rednecks right there, baby. I'll tell you. Probably has a pig in the backyard, too. He went on to call Flayton a weenie. Oh, that's horrible. Obviously a class act. Mr. Walker said he didn't really want to be part of the news story. Too bad, Mr. Walker. You are the damn story. We got you right here on Spiff Report. Flayton now gets to spend his free time scrubbing pennies at night, which, as you can imagine, will be quite the task, with 90,000 or so of the greasy copper pennies needing to be cleaned. He rightfully called the actions of Mr. Walker a childish thing to do. Yes, it is. And Flayton's girlfriend, Olivia Oxley, hopes the story sheds light on how people, and I quote, are treated so badly by their employers. We wonder how the EPA feels about the automotive waste fluids being dumped in a way that is outside the regulations listed for automotive repair shops. Sounds like it's an EPA claim right there, folks. Hopefully we hear something about this in the near future. The couple's attitude on the matter is a good example of how to handle a situation, Oxley went on to state. With that many pennies, we're bound to find a few treasures. I've already found one from 1937. After the first shovelful, all we could do was laugh because this poor miserable man and fat, slobby, belly hanging over, pants falling down around his ankles, underwear showing, guy was so vindictive, so much time being vindictive and cruel. We absolutely refused to let him ruin our single moment of ours. Well, good on him. Final story, Patriot story. Family Eatery rewards loyal Army veteran with 100 meals for his 100th birthday. Ben and Joy's, not to be confused with Luciferian ice cream company Ben and Jerry's. And don't worry about that. By the way, I'm going to tell you right now. In this household, we make, in this part of the country, we make the best ice cream ever. Hand cranked, baby. Every Sunday night, it's a Bard's event. It's a family-run restaurant in Mount Sterling. These Patriots found the perfect way to honor and celebrate the 100th birthday of a very loyal customer, Howard's Shoemate. The restaurant is gifting the U.S. Army veteran 100 meals when he reaches 100 years of age at the end of the month. The restaurant launched a campaign, 100 Meals for Howard, inviting friends and family and the local community to purchase a meal, which averages around $9 for veteran Shoemate. The campaign, launched earlier this month, quickly reached the 100-meal target, so now people are sending notes and cards to show their love on his March 28th centennial milestone. Veteran Shoemate still drives and lives in his town. He's probably wondering what happened to his country. That might be a good start. Until 3 years ago, both he and his wife had been loyal customers since the restaurant opened in 1984. Today, Howard is a more regular customer since his wife's passing. Owner Cindy Compton stated that he just lives right outside of town. You'll see his smile. He is so happy. He is friendly. He is funny. He orders the same thing every day, bacon and eggs, with hot sauce and onions. Compton and other servers kept a watch out for Howard's vehicle each day and greet him with his usual beverages, coffee and water. He has become somewhat of a local celebrity in the restaurant. Born and raised in Madison County, Ohio, the Army veteran has dedicated his life to his farm and his hometown. I was born in 21, and all my life I lived on a farm outside of three years on the Army. He was stationed in San Antonio, Texas, deploying to New Orleans, Australia, and the Philippines. He also worked as a cook and is quite the storyteller. Shoemate loves to mow his yard and watch the Cincinnati Reds. Karen Bowers describes her grandfather. He is a great man, always does for others, and never asks for anything in return. The simple bacon and eggs with hot sauce and onion meals are priceless. Rich in blessing for both the giver and the receiver for many more days than 100. Happy centennial birthday, Howard Shoemate. May God bless you with many more. Psalm 91:16, with a long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we come together each day. As difficult as it is at times to face the insanity of this world, we pray for your guidance and your strength. To give us humor in the midst of craziness, to give us light in the midst of darkness, to guide us through these times with strength to stand up to this evil, to reset this nation on the founding basework of In God We Trust, and to return the power to the people as our Constitution intends. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. We have a crazy world we're in here, and it's not getting any less crazy. So keep on pushing. Keep your prayers up. Pray for our children. Pray for some sanity. And pray for the strength to reclaim this nation county by county. Remember, God is always with us. He will never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. So I'll see you this evening at 9 p.m. or 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless and out for now.